If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is with joy that we greet you again today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing in the wonderful things God is doing for us during the days of summer here at Worth Baptist Church. Summertime is revival time at our church, and thus far, the first 6 weeks of the summer of 1975 have been the greatest summer weeks in our church's history. We have seen God at work. Souls have been saved and added to the church. Record crowds have attended the worship services, and our Sunday school has averaged 450 during these days of the summer. Even last Sunday, 450 people answered the roll call in our Sunday school on the 4th of July weekend. We're looking forward to a great day as we meet in God's house on this Lord's Day. We give to you and your family a cordial invitation to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church. You'll discover a friendly atmosphere, a spiritual warmth in which to worship God here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is thoroughly graded, carefully supervised, and has as its textbook the Bible, the Word of God. In every class, the Word of God will be taught today. We're looking forward to God's blessings upon the Sunday School hour at 10 o'clock in every class today. So we invite you to come and share it with us in the Sunday School time of the study of God's Word. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and we're looking forward to having a great hour. Our Sunday evening worship service is at 7, and these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. What is your spiritual need today? Do you need Christ as your Savior? Do you need encouragement? Do you need a spiritual boost? We believe you can find these things in all of the inspirational services of Worth Baptist Church today. From all over the city and all over the Metroplex, people are coming to worship God here at Worth Baptist Church. Perhaps you've been planning for a long time to visit us. Well, I believe this would be the day. Why not get ready and come today to Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We're looking forward to moving within the year to our new properties, located 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 on Campus Drive, just across from the South Campus of the Tarrant County Junior College and just next door to the Fort Worth State School. These 14 acres are beautiful acres upon which we will situate our new plant, and we're looking forward to that, and we covet your prayers in that direction. But meanwhile, right here at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we invite you and your family and your friends to come and study God's Word together in the Sunday School hour and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness in the services of worship today. You'll discover something different about Worth Baptist Church. We believe it would be worth the distance that you might have to drive from across the Metroplex to worship God with us today. So we'll be looking forward to seeing you in the services here at Worth Baptist on this Lord's Day. In the meantime, we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. And we would again remind you that all of the messages that were delivered under the series titled 1975 in Prophecy are now on 12 cassette tapes. There are 24 messages from the Book of the Revelation, and all 24 of these messages can be yours for the small price of $19.95. We invite you to write us today and place your order for the 1975 in Prophecy series. Just ask for the tapes on Revelation or on Prophecy and write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Your check or a money order for $19.95, we'll bring you 24 wonderful messages on the Word of God, the book of the Revelation, that tell us where we're going and the destiny of our nation and the destiny of the nations of earth today. Included in these messages are the messages that were sent to President Ford by one of our members a few weeks ago. If you'd like to have these messages, remember they can be yours for $19.95 as you write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas, 76119. We'll look forward to hearing from you this week. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Who is on the Lord's Side? I shall read from Exodus chapter 32 at verse 26. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy living Word. We thank Thee for the power of the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank Thee for the church. We thank Thee for our freedom to worship. As we in America began our 200th year of a nation, I pray today that men all over the United States would turn by faith to Thee. Bless our president and our Congress, our governors, our mayors, the leaders of our cities and of our states and of our nation. And may there be a spiritual awakening, a great turning toward Thee, a revival of spiritual things, a spiritual revolution in America this year. May it come to pass even in these days, and may it begin in our own city and in our own hearts today. Bless those who are shut in and afflicted, unable to be out to worship Thee in public assembly this day. May this broadcast be a special blessing to them. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, at verse 26, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who is on the Lord's side? Let me ask you this question, this very personal question. Are you on God's side today? There's a line of demarcation in the world in which we live. This line, which is invisible, divides mankind into two distinct groups. Jesus underscores this truth in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7. In that passage, Jesus speaks of two gates, two ways, two trees, two foundations, and two destinies. Every man alive is on one side of that line or the other. Jesus said, He that is not for me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. My friend, I want to say to you today, whatever your state or status in life, you may be rich or poor, you may be learned or unlearned, you may be big or small, you may have a business, you may have nothing. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin, or how you comb your hair, or the kind of clothes you wear, or the car you drive, or the house you live in. You're either saved or lost. You're either on one side or the other. There's no neutral ground. You are either right or wrong. You are either saved or lost. You are either on the Lord's side or the enemy's side. And my friend, the Lord's side is the right side. The Lord's side is the safe side, the winning side, the glory side. The Lord's side is the heavenly side. The poet put it this way, One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Who is on the Lord's side? In my message today, I see three things that are true about the person who is on the Lord's side. Number one, the person who is on the Lord's side is the person who surrenders his life to Jesus Christ. Christianity is not so much a creed as it is a person. Christianity is Christ. To be a Christian means to be a Christ one. Christianity without Christ is reduced to a cold, dead, formal religion. The one thing that makes the difference between Christianity and the other 10 major religions of the world is Christ, and what a difference He makes. Jesus Christ makes a difference as wide as eternity, and Jesus Christ will make the difference in your life between heaven and hell. When a man becomes a Buddhist, he does not receive the spirit of the Buddha. He does not have the life of the great Buddha infused into his life. He does not come into a personal relationship with Buddha. He simply subscribes to the teachings of Buddhism. The same is true with Confucianism and Mohammedanism. When a man becomes a Muslim, for example, he does not have the life of Mohammed coming into his life. He does not receive the spirit of Mohammed. He does not have a personal, intimate relationship with Mohammed. But my friend, when a man becomes a Christian, it's altogether different. When a man becomes a Christian, he takes Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into his heart. He receives the Spirit of Christ into his life. He establishes a personal relationship with Christ that comes about through a new birth. The man who becomes a Christian is transformed by the power of God into a new creature. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, or a new creation. Matthew was a tax collector, but when Jesus called him, the Bible says he left all and followed Christ. He surrendered everything to Jesus. Peter was a rugged fisherman, but one day Jesus came by and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." Peter did that and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Paul, the blasphemer, was the same thing. Jesus Christ called him. He left his life and followed Christ. He surrendered everything to Jesus. Now, I'm speaking to some today who are very comfortable in your situation, in your business, in your profession, in your career for life. In your manner of life, you are situated comfortably. But Jesus Christ is passing by your way today, and through this message on this broadcast, He's speaking to you. He's inviting you to come. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, His life becomes your life, and you can say with Paul, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Now, you don't have to surrender your life to Christ, my friend. Mister, you don't have to be saved. You don't have to give your life to Jesus today. Oh, no. But if you do not surrender your life to Him, you must suffer the consequences. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and gave an account of his life and how he kept the law. And Jesus said to him, "One thing lackest thou yet." And I would say to you today, with whatever good or personal righteousness that's in your life, without Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, you too lack one thing. You may be very near, and yet you're far away. If you miss heaven by one inch, you might as well miss it a million miles. If you miss heaven by one moment, you will miss it for eternity. My friend, as sure as you're listening to this voice today, you know the one thing in your life that keeps you from Christ. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your associates, your friends, your family, your home, your farm, your place at the lake. Whatever it is, you know what's keeping you from God and Christ and the church today. And that one thing, whatever it is, if it's a person or a business, or a house, or an enterprise, or money, or whatever, that one thing will become the greatest heartbreak and the most bitter disappointment in your life and in your experience. I repeat, the person who is on the Lord's side is the person who surrenders everything to Jesus Christ. In the second place, the person who is on the Lord's side is the person who yields his will to the will of God. Two little girls, 5 and 3, were playing house one day. After pretending that they had done a long day's work, it was then time for bed. The 5-year-old said to the 3-year-old, "We must kneel by our bed and say our prayers." So the 3-year-old led off in prayer, and this is what she prayed. "Dear Lord, we have had a good day today. What's your plan for tomorrow?" My friend, that ought to be your prayer and mine every day. For God has a plan and a purpose for your life. As the architect draws the plan for a building, as the weaver weaves the pattern for the cloth, even so, God is drawing and weaving a plan for your life. God has a place for you. If you are in the wrong place, the right place is still vacant. The supreme task of every Christian is to find God's will and do it. Dr. George Truett, the late and great pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, once said, and I quote, "To seek God's will is the greatest quest. To know God's will is the greatest knowledge. And to do God's will is the greatest achievement." Inside God's will, there is no failure. Outside God's will, there is no success. David Livingstone once said, and I quote, "I had rather be in God's will in the jungles of Africa than to be outside God's will on the throne of England." Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus surrendered his will to God. In order to be on the Lord's side, you must surrender your will to him today. Jesus did God's will. He prayed. He went to church. He took care of God's business. He bore the cross all the way to Calvary. Jesus says to you and to me, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The person who is on the Lord's side surrenders his will to the will of God. Have you? Have you surrendered your will to the will of God? Are you on God's side today? In the third place, the person who is on the Lord's side is the person who links his life to the church. Can you imagine the church without Christ, or Christ without the church? The church is God's agency for the propagation of the gospel. The church is God's repository of truth, his reservoir of grace, his refuge for weary souls. The church is God's resting place for tired and hungry hearts. Look at what the church has done. The church has nourished our thirsty souls. The church has fed our hungry hearts. The church has guided our misguided lives. The church has sheltered our families, married our children, buried our dead, and comforted our grief-stricken people. This is what the church is doing today. This is why we should link ourselves to the church, in order to identify ourselves with Christ, in order to learn the doctrines of the Bible. We should link our lives to the church in order to embrace the teachings of Christianity, in order to fortify our faith with new fervor, in order to serve God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We should link our lives to the church in order to invest our money in the souls of men around the world. In order to meet with the presence of God, we must be linked with the church. God meets his people in the sanctuary of the Lord, the holy place of God. In this hour and in this age is the church. The church is God's only arm and only agency in the world today to evangelize the world. The phone rang in the office of the pastor of the church where Franklin Delano Roosevelt attended often. The pastor answered. The man on the other end of the line said, "Is the president going to be in church today?" To which the pastor replied, "Well, I can't be sure of that. But of this I am sure, God will be in the church today, and I think that's reason enough for anybody to attend." My friend, the only way, I repeat, for you to meet with the presence of God, regardless of who's at the church and who isn't, the only way for you to come into the presence of God in worship, in public assembly, is to link your life with the church. When I was saved in a church When I was baptized, I was baptized in a church. When I was married in the church. When I was ordained by the church. My friend, I believe in the church. And I believe that God has put the church on the earth to win men to Christ, to evangelize the world, to teach and preach the gospel of redeeming grace. That's what we are doing at Worth Baptist Church all through these many years. And we invite you to come and share that with us. One point further on this business of the church. If I die before the coming of Christ, I want to be buried by the church. I'm like the little girl who was asked why she went to church every Sunday. And here's what she said. I go to church every Sunday so that when they carry me in one day, the Lord won't have to ask, who is it? My friend, you need to be in church today, this hour, this Lord's Day, this Sunday. If there were no church in your city and mine, there'd be no church fellowship. There would be no Sunday schools, no Christian homes, no salt of the earth, no light of the world. There would be no missionaries. There would be no preachers to preach the gospel. There would be no pastors to comfort the sad, to marry the living, to bury the dead. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I don't need the church. The church can't do anything for me. But my friend, I want you to put this down. On this 13th day of July, 1975, you will live long enough to see the day that you will need the church, and you will need a pastor, and you will need God, and you will need Christ, and you will need the Bible. And all of these you can have today simply by yielding your life to Christ and linking your life to the church. I have this footnote and I shall be through. The person who is on the Lord's side is the person who's willing to make a public profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus put it this way, whosoever therefore confesseth me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he that denieth me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Where do you stand today, my friend? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you saved? Are you a church member? Are you planning for Christ to have His way in your life? Are you going to church today? My friend, you need to do it more than ever before. America needs a revival. You need Christ. America needs Christ. Your home needs Christ and Christian principles. Your business needs to be operated by the principles of the New Testament and by your own personal faith in Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to someone now right by your radio. You ought to kneel right where you are and surrender your life to Jesus. You ought to yield your will to Christ. You ought to come to church today and identify yourself with the people of God by membership in the church. May the Lord bless you as you do it today. Until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.